Hello, everyone. Thanks for being here. It was mentioned already a couple of times how the TCL and the OpenACS community are normally rather conservatives. So that's why I thought it was conference worthy, a use case of the contrary. So upgrading OpenACS from the 5.4 version to 5.10, a case study in the city of Milan. This presentation will be about, well, first of all, OpenACS in the context of an important public administration, and then how this upgrade took place, the cost, the challenges, and what are the lessons learned for the future. The system we came to upgrade is called OSAPI. OSAPI is a web-based ERP for public ground occupation. Basically, it is used to manage the entire process of issuing authorizations and permits. It's in use in Milan since 2012. It's owned by the city of Milan and is maintained by Fee Software SRL. Two of the colleagues from Fee Software are today here with us. It has been built with the intention of putting all the public data into a shared repository with a strong focus on collaboration. The city of Milan is composed by many offices, as you can imagine, and it's important that the data is shared, it's consistent, and it's worked upon in a collaborative manner. Public ground occupation, what does it mean? The main use case is a citizen or a company reaching out to the city because they intend to use the public ground for some purpose. This purpose could be, for instance, driveways, or it could be tables for a restaurant or a bar, or it could be a construction site. In such case, the city will start a procedure. This procedure will normally require a certain time to complete, after which the permit will be either agreed upon or rejected. In the case this permit is agreed upon, then normally this involves the payment of one or more state taxes. There are 149 different types of permits and 100 tax calculation formulas, so it's not exactly trivial. OSAPI implements these permits using an in-house workflow system. And thanks to the multi-user, multi-group capabilities of OpenACS, it's possible to have the offices modeled as multiple groups collaborating together. This document can be sent for an opinion to a different office to be elaborated further. The groups are, as I said, rather different. They could be the typical public servant in an office, it could be the local police, and some parts of the system are even exposed to the public. So the goals of OSAPI are, first of all, the traceability of a process. This is important in a concept of transparency in the public administration. To generate schedules in a way that the process can be kept on track. Productivity, because it's an ERP, basically it allows to track what kind of permit is the most profitable. And other kind of such calculations. And also the geographical aspects become very important because it's possible to tell which area is the one where the most money is made out of a certain kind of permit and so on, drill down and elaborate the data. This is a couple of numbers on the volume of permits and revenues that OSAPI generates for the city of Milan. This is split roughly half and half in open-ended permits and short-term permits, and it amounts to 67 million euros, so not a negligible amount of money. Concerning the short-term permits, we have a breakdown of what are the most common kinds of permits. As we see, scaffoldings and excavation works, they basically refer to construction sites. And they amount for a big chunk of the whole money. Then we have a lot of money from the local police. This comes in the form of enforcement of the police will check whether you occupied the public ground in certain limits. These enforcements eventually might amount to a fine, and this is the amount of money that is made out of that. And then there is some money from the public events and from the driveways. Still a couple of numbers to have an idea of the application size. As we see, so this little square here is a comparison with the code base in OpenACS. The TCL source files are quite a few. We have a few procs. The dump size is in the order of magnitude of 25 gigabytes. And we have around 1.5 million ACS objects. Here we see the packages that are installed on OSAPI. These are the packages that come from upstream. As we can see, it's a rather small selection of packages. And these are the downstream packages together with their main use. So the maps is a map support. Summit is the workflow system that is used to implement the permits. TOSAP is the main application logics package, and Z customizations is where certain customizations to the upstream API are put in order to keep them separate from the rest. The system basically enables 631 people to cooperate together, spread across 115 offices. There are quite a few interactions among the people in the offices because the permit might have to pass from one office to another to get different opinions and agreements. So, yeah. Now we go to the juicy part, the upgrade. In 2022, the city of Milan has renewed its commitment to OSAPI, and this came with the decision to upgrade the complete application stack, including the underlying OpenACS version, the PostgreSQL DBMS, and the operating system. Fee Software SRL contacted me to provide support to this project, and this is the reason why I'm here in front of you now. This is the starting situation. So we had an operating system. So basically, the whole stack was rather updated. We see Ubuntu 8.04, PostgreSQL 2, AO Server 4.5.1, and an old release of OpenACS. The development process also, there was some room for improvement. CVS was used for the in-house code base only, and the upstream code base was considered practically immutable. And what we wanted to get to was an up-to-date operating system, a recent Postgres server. We went for the package version for the operating system that we have chosen, the latest Navi server release, and the latest OpenACS at the times, which was 5.10.0. We also wanted to improve the development process and go for Git for the entire code base, including in-house and upstream code base, and also enable in a way that this update will not be a one-time operation, but could be repeated over time. So the roadmap was in spring 2022. We started planning the upgrade. So we start sizing the new machine, install the new stack, import the database, the code base, and the settings to the new setup. Then we set up the Git repositories. We connected the upstream packages with upstream mirrors. In summer 2022, we run basically a sort of real upgrade. So we perform the entire upgrade steps in a test environment. And then the resulting system has been tested and validated. In winter, between 2022 and 2023, happened the real upgrade rollout. We agreed on a suitable maintenance window. As I said before, there are many offices that could not just be updated live, so we had to stop them for a couple of days, which was a weekend. We imported the latest database and the latest code changes. We performed again the whole upgrade, validated the upgrade again, then switch back, switch the new environment as the production environment, and then came the post-upgrade support. A couple of words about the repository structure that I've chosen. I've decided to basically replace the entire upstream code base with a fresh checkout of the OSCS 5.4 branch, which was the closest relative to the actual files that were there. Then basically I've performed the upgrade for the 5.4 release, then checked out the next release, performed again the upgrade, and so on and so forth until the latest. A couple of packages that were part of the upstream code base did not have a release branch. In this case, they were checked out and updated only once. The downstream code has been made part of the main ACS core repository in a way that it could be tracked with Git together with the rest of the code base. The resulting setup has three main branches. There is a development branch, a production branch, and an upstream branch. This allows to implement a release cycle where changes can be tested in development, then put to production, and also code from upstream can be merged and put into the downstream code base. The main server configuration files have also been tracked via Git as part of the core repository. So how did the upgrade went down? Basically, we started with the first database dump from the original system. Postgres 8.4 had to be installed from sources, and from there, we restored the original dump. And then the upgrade happened stepwise from 5.4, 5.5, and so on, until 5.8. Up to 5.8, the upgrades need to happen on Postgres 8. The issues that I've encountered are minimal, but I've decided to document it nevertheless. So I had to comment a couple of lines in installation page because some code was trying to connect to CVS that was not available on the machine that I was working on. And then I had a small problem with an upgrade script because a constraint that used to be named differently in older database was assumed to have a different name in the source file. Yeah, the upgrade went otherwise fine, so it was time to dump from Postgres 8.4 and restore into the Postgres 12, that was the target release. And then again, I've upgraded stepwise from 5.9 to 5.10. I've encountered, again, a little issue with a constraint name that was named differently. This is something that could happen if you have an old installation. It could happen that a historical constraint might have a different name than the one in the upgrade script. We tried to fix all of them, but just as a note, this could happen. And then there was a small issue that was fixed upstream where a cache was expected to exist that was not there yet. I just fixed it. A couple of words on the pitfalls. So basically, what could go wrong afterwards? The command lines via exec, this is something that needs to be kept on track. It's normally the case on productive system. Eventually, you use a command line utility. And if you move to a new server, you need to take it with you. There was a particular situation with TRML to PDF, which has been used extensively in printouts. It used to be packaged with Ubuntu, but not anymore. And now the version that is available is on GitHub. However, this version behaves slightly differently, in particular concerning page orientation, so a couple of prints had to be adapted because of that. Postgres 8.4 removed many implicit typecasts. If your code was somehow lenient with what concerns data types, it could be the case that you have to look into a few queries, and this was the case. Then concerning OpenACS, there was a rather important, small but rather important change in the ADform functionality, where the inform widget has been refactored so that it would not pass the variables around anymore. This was a security fix, actually, because normally these values are supposed to be immutable and just used to display some value. But if this value carries application logics, for instance, it says this is the amount of taxes you have to pay, and you change it, this is definitely not good for you. And because a couple of forms were relying on the old behavior, they also had to be reworked. A couple of issues we had with the logics to compute the system URL that are now much stricter, but they could be fixed via configuration. Yeah, then other less severe problems, there was a lot of deprecated API that had to be replaced patiently. In particular, the with catch versus try idiom had to be replaced in many files. This is important to keep warnings under control. Some local changes to upstream code had to be reinstated. In particular, a couple of graphical customizations had to be put back. And then various specific configuration and setups for corner cases had to be, again, ported to the new configuration. There was also a small regression concerning jQuery UI. There's a date picker widget that has been used in many forms. Sadly enough, many offices still use Internet Explorer, and there was a regression where they would not find this error anymore, but it could be fixed by importing the latest assets, and this was solved rather quickly. About the cost, so the upgrade process took Fee Software roughly 96 person hours, and it took me roughly 64 person hours. This is nothing in comparison with the test and post upgrade support. There were, of course, many tickets subsequently the rollout. So Fee Software took 328 whooping amount of hours after the release. For me, not so much. I just sent a couple of emails, basically. But we could, the real rough time for the users could be estimated amount in around 2 months. So this is a cost that has to be taken into account. What are the takeaways from this whole process? Testing, testing, testing. About software in this case. And testing a post-upgrade support was the costliest part of the whole project. It definitely helps to have a good automated test suite. Normally people don't do it because it's also costly, but it pays down the line. Upgrading the OpenACS was the easy part, so far so good. But also, upgrading regularly is definitely better. So I don't suggest, one needs to evaluate very carefully such a huge upgrade, and it's definitely better to keep your code up to date incrementally. So your code is kept up to date, it means deprecated API are cleaned up regularly, you apply the best practices with respect, for instance, to data types in Postgres. Regression can be absorbed gradually. The best features and security can be ensured. Another point was about Git. We introduced Git into the workflow, which had a rather steep learning curve, but it repays with the control it gives you over your code base. It's now possible to merge local changes with upstream changes. Take changes from upstream, even just a cherry pick, or completely a complete release. It's very flexible the way you can control your changes. Not only you can revert them very easily, you can take them out of production to rework them on development. You certainly know about it. It pays for those who don't use it. It pays a lot. So many thanks, first of all, to Comune di Milano, in particular to Lauro Giuseppina Colombo, the person in charge of the information systems in Milan, for investing in this project and in the future of USAPI for the city. She also provided many of the information and figures that I used in this presentation. Thanks also to Baldo Salerini for his usual kindness and patience. Thanks a lot to Fee Software, to Stefano, Luca, and Serena. Stefano and Luca are here with us today for the much heavy lifting they endured during these many months and for involving me in this interesting project. And finally, many thanks to Hector, whose work I have sometimes borrowed. In particular, the Git setup and the release setup, there might be a couple of similarities with certain configuration files. But I put you in the acknowledgement, so it's fine. Thanks a lot for watching, and if there are any questions, please.
Thank you very much. The first question is from here.
Hi, my name is Key. I have a question regarding when you did the upgrade, did you deal with CSP issues?
To be completely fair, CSP had to be deactivated.
I see.
Yes. If there is code relying on inline event handlers, mm-hmm. It's definitely a lot of work. I know because I did some of this work on Learn, for instance. It's really a lot of work to go through all this code base. And I definitely suggest that we rethink about that in the future, and it could be one of the next upgrade steps to enable CSP, but to do that, one has to really go through a lot of code.
Okay. What is CSP, sorry?
It stands for Content Security Policy. So it enforces so JavaScript cannot be executed if you don't have sort of it being signed on the server. Mm-hmm.
And I guess it's all whatever on click handlers, and you're not allowed to have this. I mean, you can activate in the CSP, but the basic idea is to make the pages secure against any kind of rejection attacks.
If you have a string, it cannot be executed as JavaScript. That's the basic rule. For instance, eval or stuff like that, it cannot fly anymore.
Any inline will be blocked if you are not mm-hmm. allowing it directly. Mm-hmm.
Right, thank you.
But I mean, you can also activate it selectively. I mean, you can say, just have the CSP rules on whatever, on styles, but not on other things, therefore it can be done incrementally. Mm. I mean, I find it quite impressive that, I mean, it was looking up, it was 15 years difference between the 5.4.3 release and now. It's actually...
I don't know if I'm allowed to say it, but it takes some balls. I was really impressed when they asked me to do it because I was like, ooh. I'm not talking about me, I'm talking about them. They're the ones who had to endure the consequences. Phone calls with the offices, why is my form not forming anymore? Okay. But it's possible, guys. If you have an old system, update it, it's possible. It will be work, no question, but it's possible.
I mean, there are many old OpenSS application out there, therefore I think it's a common problem actually.
Yes, yes indeed.
Okay, then thanks a lot.